யஸ்மை தாத்தும் சோரயம் க்ஷீரபாண்டம் கோபிநாத க்ஷீரச்சோராபிதோபூத் ஸ்ரீ கோபால பிரதுராசீத் வசஸ்தன் யத் பிரேம்னா தம் மாதவேந்திரம் நதோஸ்மி. சோ த சீக்ரெட் ஒகேஷன் ஆஃப் த டிஸ்அப்பியரன்ஸ் டே ஸ்ரீ மாதவேந்திர புரிபாத் வில் டிஸ்கஸ் சம் பேரலல்ஸ் பிட்வீன் த லைஃப் ஆஃப் Shri Madhavendra Puri and Shri Prabhupada. So the verse that I just recited is the invocation of the fourth chapter of the Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has adopted a distinctive style in writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. Every pastime that he describes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is preceded by a starting verse which summarizes the pastime and which is in Sanskrit, unlike the remaining chapter which is in Bengali. So in this particular verse he is offering obeisances to Shri Madhavendra Puripad. Yasmai datum chorayan kshirabhandam. So kshirabhanda is what? See, Bengali is very similar to Hindi or Marathi. If you understand Hindi, Marathi, then Bengali, almost 60-70% you can understand. So Kshira Bhanda is the pot of sweet rice. Yasmai Datum, to give unto him. Chorayan, that lord became a thief and he stole. Yasmai Datum Chorayan Kshira Bhandam Gopinath. So that lord Gopinath, he became famous as Kshira Chora Abhidobhut. Abhidobhut means he became famous as Kshira Chora. So that is the first, that is one most famous pastime Shri Madhavendra Puripad. But apart from that, Shri Gopala Pradurashid Vashasan. Vasha means being conquered by. So by being conquered by the love of Shri Madhavendra Puri, what happened? Shri Gopala Pradurashid. Shri Gopala Pradurashid means he manifested himself. So we know that in Govardhan, Gopal, did he reveal his own location to Shri Madhavendra Puripad? So, yes. Yat Premna. So, how was that Lord conquered? By the love of Madhavendra Puri. Yat Premna Tam Madhavendram Natosmi. Nato means to offer obeisances. So, to that Madhavendra Puri, by whose love, Shri Gopal, who was unmanifest, became manifest. And Gopinath, who was manifest, became active in stealing for the Lord. So that Madhavendra Puri's love is so great, and therefore to that Madhavendra Puri I offer my obeisances. So Srila Madhavendra Puri has a very unique position in our Gaudiya Sampradaya. You know, we have to understand that bhakti is not the monopoly of anyone, not even of any sampradaya. There can be great saints who may not be any sampradaya, because they might have been devotees in the previous sampradaya, previous life in some sampradaya, and in this life they just completing. So Madhavendra Puri, as Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, is the root of the tree of love of God. So he is the root, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually the tree of love of God. So he is the root, and from him the whole tree has grown. And later on it will be described how in this particular pastime that the extent of love of Krishna that was experienced by Madhavendra Puri, that was experienced only by two other personalities. That was Srimati Radharani and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he had attained the highest level of love of which cannot be experienced by anybody else. The Mahabhava level. So we will discuss based on the acronym Puri, P-U-R-I. So we will compare Srila Prabhupada and Srila Madhavendra Puripada. So P is pure-hearted. Now, Srila Madhavendra Puri in his external manifest Leela had a very extraordinary history. If the Lord's associates, they are eternally realized souls. But when they manifest in this world, they may not manifest their exalted devotion right from the beginning. So their devotion gets manifested as per the plan of the Lord. Just like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, in the initial part of his life, he played the role of an agnostic. And he was a seeker. And from a seeker, he became a seer. So, why did the Lord arrange for him to play that sort of role? So that, at that time, there are many other contemporary Bengali intellectuals. And they had seen him earlier, you know, he was almost influenced by Christianity. Then he was attracted by Brahmo Samaj of Ram Mohan Roy. And then, you know, both these people used to criticize Bhagavatam and Krishna Bhakti. And then when he became a Krishna Bhakta, all of them were stunned. And they were ready to listen to him. Why? Because they thought he knows what all you are thinking and why has he accepted this? Just like, you know, if somebody is from a scientific background, then he's speaking about spirituality. Then people, oh, you have Radha Shampu's degree, M.Tech IIT. Just by seeing that degree, people come. Why? Because they feel, oh, he was in our camp and he's gone there. Why has he gone there? So, you know, so like that, so Madhavendra Puri in his external manifest Leela was initially in a Mayavad Sampradaya. Then from that Mayavad Sampradaya, he actually went over to Madhva Sampradaya. And from Madhva Sampradaya, he came to Gaudiya Sampradaya. So, Ramachandra Puri was one of the early disciples of Madhavendra Puri. And Ramachandra Puri had been initiated by Madhavendra Puri when apparently Madhavendra Puri was performing a Leela as a Mayavadi. So, later on in the final days when Madhavendra Puri was about to depart, at that time, what happens with the Mayavadis is that they also practice bhakti. But their idea is bhakti is the way to mukti. If you practice bhakti right now because you are not so intelligent, then you become intelligent like me. Then you can go beyond the form to the formless. Right now you can worship the form. Right now you can all hear these pastimes. But ultimately, the Mayavadi is, Prabhupada calls them atheistic. Why he calls them atheistic? Not that they don't believe in God. They actually believe that they have to go beyond God. That means they call themselves as transtheistic. That means you believe in God and you go beyond God to understand, I am God. So that's why that slogan of the impersonalist, I was an atheist till I discovered that I was God. So like that, Ramachandra Puri was thinking that Madhavendra Puri is just doing a bhakti as a means to mukti. And therefore, at the final moments, when Madhavendra Puri was about to depart from this world, Ramachandra Puri saw that Madhavendra Puri is still doing bhakti. He said, now it is time for Brahma Gyan. It is bhakti is enough now. He was still in the Mayavad conception. But Madhavendra Puri was just doing his leela. And he said, get out of my sight. You know, actually, I want to remember the Supreme Lord. And I am not able to remember the Supreme Lord. That's a very beautiful verse which he sung, which is actually sung by Srimati Radharani when she is feeling separation from Krishna. When Krishna has gone to Vrindavan. Aldina dayadranath hai, Mathura nath kadavalokyase, Rudayam tadalokataram devita brahmyate kim karomyaham. Aldina dayadranath hai. So Radharani is praying, O Krishna, you are the Lord, you are the Nath of Dina Dayardra. Deen fallen, to the fallen you are Dayardra, you are merciful. Ay Deen Dayardra Nath hai. But we are fallen, you are merciful. Unfortunately, instead of being merciful to us, Mathura Natha Kadavalokyase. You have left us and gone to Mathura. Instead of being Dinanath, you have become Mathura Nath now. And Kadavalokyase. How will I be able to see you? Without seeing you, how can I tolerate the separation from you? Rudayam tada lok kataram. Alok means to see with eyes. Alok means not see. Rudayam tada lok kataram. Because I am not able to see you, my heart is tortured. Daita brahmyati kim karomyaham. Dait, oh beloved, brahmyati. My mind is wandering, reeling, not knowing what to do. Kim karomyaham? What should I do now? So Radharani is in utter agony in separation from Krishna because Krishna has left her and she doesn't know what to do. So Srila Madhavendra Puripada was reciting this verse at his final moment. Actually, this is a very exalted level of separation from Krishna. And Ramachandra Puri thought that this is just some mundane, because their idea is bhakti is mundane and only jnana is transcendental. So he says, why are you lamenting like a mundaner? Give up this lamentation, focus your mind on Brahman, become calm and stoic. Madhavendra Puri got so angry. He said, I have not been able to see Krishna, I have not been able to achieve Krishna, and this rascal is telling me to meditate on Brahman. He says, for a devotee, Brahman is kaivalyam narakayate. You know, for a devotee, Brahman is like hell. Now, there is the yogis talk about Brahmananda, which is indeed great. But as compared to Sevananda, the Brahmananda is very tiny. And Brahmananda actually takes away from Sevananda. Because there is no, we cannot do any seva over there. So therefore, he didn't want to be deprived of that. And he said, get out of here, get up. So, Ishwara Puri understood the heart of Madhavendra Puri. And he served him faithfully. So, Shri Madhavendra Puri was actually, he just manifested this apparent garb as a Mayavadi so that he could attract Mayavadis to the path of bhakti. Just like Sridhar Swami also apparently belonged to Mayavadi Sampradaya. But actually he was a bhakta. And his commentary was so wonderful that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually to some extent chastised Vallabh Bhatta when he tried to counter Sridhar Swami's commentary. So, like that, sometimes somebody may externally be in a Mayavad Sampradaya, but may be a Vaishnava at heart. And therefore, we cannot stereotype people as black and white. And Madhavendra Puri was so pure-hearted that actually the Mayavadis ultimately have the desire of wanting to merge into God, which is the greatest enjoying mentality. So, I want to enjoy here in the material world by becoming great, but if I can't become great, then instead of becoming small, I want to become the greatest. So Mayavad is actually, in one sense, the ultimate expression of false ego and envy. So, a devotee has no such desire. Why the ultimate expression of false ego and envy? Because I can't become great, so let me become the greatest. No, if I can't become great, let me become small. That should be the attitude of a devotee. So, that's why Mayavad is so strongly condemned by our Vaishnava Acharyas. At the same time, if the Mayavadis can come in the association of devotees, they can be transformed. But the Mayavadis should come in the association of devotees. Devotees should not go in the association of Mayavadis. Because Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha, you know, in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 62nd verse, Lord Krishna says that by our association our desires are determined. So if the Mayavadis come in the association of devotees, then their devotional desires will grow. But if we go into the association of Mayavadis, our Mayavadi desires to grow, will grow. So if the Mayavadis have a urge to merge, they have the urge to merge. But the devotees have the urge to serve. So we want to develop that urge to serve. And Madhavendra Puripad, he is actually the connecting link between us and the Madhava Sampradaya also. Now our connecting link with the Madhava Sampradaya is through Madhavendra Puri, who was in the Madhava Sampradaya, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from his disciple Ishwara Puri. And our second connecting link with Madhava Sampradaya is also through Baldev Vidya Bhushan, who was initiated in the Madhava Sampradaya, and then he met Radha Damodar Goswami, who was an exalted disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and he became attracted to the Gaudiya Siddhanta by that. And then he went to Vrindavan where he met Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and then took a spiritual instruction from him. So Madhavendra Puripada was so pure-hearted that he had the Bhikshuka Vritti, Ayachita Vritti. You know, there are the two Vritti, there is the Bhikshuka Vritti and there is the Ayachita Vritti. Bhikshuka Vritti means actually even to actually beg requires a great amount of detachment. Why? Because it's a very humbling thing to go and beg. But higher than that is the Ayachaka Vritti. See, in the Vedic culture, even when a sadhu would go and beg, he would go and beg. Now if you go and beg, the people will not give any food. And even if they give food, the food that they will give is not prasad. So, we can't eat it also. Actually, in the Vedic culture, when people would beg, they would beg only from the house of Brahmanas. Beg only from the house of Brahmanas, because the Brahmanas would have Shalagram Shila where the deity would be worship and they will get prasad. That's why the duties of a Brahmana, six duties are what? Yajan, Yajan, Patan, Patan, Dan and Parigraha. So they have to receive Dan and they have to give Dan. To whom will they give Dan? Many of the Brahmanas will be Grihasthas. So they receive charity from the other members of society. And the mendicants who come, the renunciates, they take charity not from the ordinary people, but from the Brahmanas. But higher than the Bhikshu Vritti is the Ayachaka Vritti. Ayachaka Vritti means that one does not even beg. So Madhavendra Puri had that Ayachaka Vritti. He used to think that, why should I go and beg? Why should I waste my time in even begging to people? Let me get some fruit, some leaves, whatever I get, I will eat and I will live. So, sometimes people feel that those who renounce the world, you know, they are not doing anything productive. They are just like parasites in society. Yes, there are some renunciates who might be like that. But the actual mood of renunciation is that, though there is so much to do for the service of Krishna, I don't have time to work a job and earn my living. Let Krishna take care of that. So actually a devotee feels so much absorbed in Krishna consciousness that he has no time. So the Ayachaka Vritti is that level of Krishna consciousness. And he is just absorbed in the remembrance of Krishna. So because he was so pure hearted, Lord Krishna personally intervened. Lord Krishna personally intervened. And what did he do? When he was in Vrindavan near Govindakund, Lord Krishna came as a small boy. And when Madhavendra Puri was completely exhausted, because he had been walking for a long time, he had drunk a little water but not eaten anything. And he suddenly saw this beautiful looking boy in front of him. He charmed his heart. The Lord's mysterious maya, yoga maya is such that, you know, when Madhavendra Puri was right in front of the Lord, he did not understand it was the Lord. Who is this beautiful boy? And the boy said, you know, I have brought some milk for you. Please take this. And Madhavendra was just charmed by this boy. And he said, how did you know that I was hungry? How did you get milk? He said, very mysteriously, in my village, nobody goes hungry. So, that is actually Lord Krishna. You know, in my village. Even now, if you go to Vrindavan, once we had gone for Vrindavan Yatra, so we decided we'll do Madhukari. So we went to several houses and people gave us this thick chapatis and not pakkan, nowadays they give jaggery, gud and roti. That was what Radhanath Maharaj had when he was leaving from Vrindavan, if you had a journey home. So they give, so Krishna, in my village nobody goes hungry. And this was like a transcendental level, but he did not want to reveal that he is Krishna. So he said, actually there were some ladies who were drawing water from a well over here and they saw you sitting for a long time and they realized you may not have eaten anything, so they have sent me. You take this milk and after some time I will come and collect the pot from you. And then, as he turned around to go, suddenly he disappeared. And he disappeared at that time as he was drinking the milk and he was wondering how this boy has disappeared. This milk was so delicious. And then it struck him that, oh, this was my beloved Lord. And he felt so agony-struck. On one side he was delighted because the Lord had personally come, but he was aghast because he had not recognized the Lord. He had not offered obeisances to the Lord. And he fell unconscious in his ecstasy and agony both. And that time that same boy came again. And he said, I have a special mission for you. You know, I am existing in a form over here where I have been neglected for a long time. So please come. And rescue me. You know, the devotee normally prays to the Lord, please rescue me from danger. But here the Lord is praying, please rescue me. You know, Pillai Lokacharya is a great saint in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. Ramanujacharya had two great disciples, successors, not disciples. They are a few hundred years later, Vedanta Deshika and Pillai Lokacharya. So Pillai Lokacharya writes about the Archa Vigraha. He says, how great is the mercy of the Lord that who is he who is independent becomes dependent. He who is unlimited becomes limited. He who is all powerful becomes powerless. So that the child soul who is tiny and limited can touch him, serve him and love him. This is the supreme mercy of the Ishwara. So actually the deity form is an extraordinary mercy of the Lord. What does he say? Three things. He who is unlimited becomes limited. He is all powerful becomes powerless. So like that, he describes how this is the greatness of the Lord, that he makes himself accessible as the deity so that we can love and serve him. That's why, as I've discussed in that book, Idol Worship or Ideal Worship, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that any religion where there is no deity worship tends to very soon become materialistic. Why? Because there is it is very difficult to develop a higher taste. So Srila Madhavendra Puripad was led by that Gopal or Krishna himself in his dream to a particular place where he revealed his own presence. And then that beautiful pastime is there. We won't go into the full details of that. But next morning he woke up and it was wide in the thickets. He told the Vrajvasis, please come. Now there is Lord Krishna over here in his deity form. And they had to break through because there was such a thick wilderness over there. And when they went there, they saw the deity over there still. So actually, this was the time when the Muslim invaders were attacking, and that's why the deities had to be protected. So sometimes the deities were protected and sometimes the deities were abandoned. But all this is the leela of the Lord, so that actually in the future the devotees can be glorified. The Lord doesn't have to hide like this. But the Lord hides so that in the future when the devotee reveals, then the devotee becomes glorified. And by that devotee's grace the Lord was revealed to us. So we see what was the pure heart of Madhavendra Puri. That his pure heart was, he did not want to ask anything from the Lord. And then what did the Lord do? The Lord revealed himself to him completely. And then the same principle we see when he came to Ramuna. Now, Gopalji was installed in Vrindavan. And then Gopalji came in his dream and told him, please get Chandan for me. And then he went all the way down from there to Malaya Hills, that is in Orissa. So now Vrindavan to Orissa is very, very far away. In fact, because it is so far away and because the journey is so dangerous due to both dacoits being there as well as the Muslims being the rulers, so Mother Shachi did not want Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan. She said, please stay in Puri because I can keep getting news of you regularly. So it is a very long and dangerous journey. But he went all the way, and when we go down, we come to the place Ramuna. And actually when he came to Ramuna, at that time he saw this beautiful deity and he saw that there is a beautiful kheer being offered to the Lord. So have any of you been to Ramuna? It is very, you have been there. Very. Okay. So it is about only 3 hours from our IIT Kharagpur, Krishnagatipur voice. And we have been there a few times by Krishna's mercy. It's a small and beautiful place. So there, when he came to Ramuna, he saw this beautiful deity of Gopinath. And he saw that the kheer was being offered to Gopinath. So now, why did Lord have to steal the kheer for him? Choram kheera bhandam. Why did he have to steal? Because Madhavendra Puri had the ayachaka vritti. You know, when he saw that kheer, he thought, if only I could learn how this kheer is made, then I will be able to make similar kheer for Gopalji. So his desire was not to eat the kheer. His desire was to serve the Lord. So he did not want the kheer because he was hungry or because he was greedy. He wanted the kheer because he wanted to learn how to serve. He was such an expert connoisseur of food that just by eating the kheer he would know how it has been cooked. So, he wanted it, we are not even hungry, I am just greedy, give me something to eat. the second is that I am hungry and I need something to eat. So he was neither greedy nor hungry. He actually wanted the kheer just for the service of the Lord, so that he could learn how that kheer can be made for Lord Gopal. So actually when Radhanath Maharaj was in Vrindavan, at that time he became very famous for the sandesh that he would make for Srila Prabhupada. So at that time he was under Kirtanand Maharaj. Tamal Krishna Maharaj sent a special devotee to try to tempt Radhanath Maharaj to come from there to Radha Damodar's party.
because this is Prabhupada is going to come here. You can cook sandesh for Prabhupada over here. So then he called him, and it was a spiritual desire, because he knew that Prabhupada liked that sandesh. He wanted Prabhupada to offer Prabhupada the best. So then Radha Maharaj was told that, I won't come, but I will teach you how to cook sandesh. So he said, okay, I can learn that. And then the first thing he did was, he took him to the cow shed. He started, sweeping the cows and brushing their hair. He said, come and do this. He said, I want to learn how to cook sandesh. He said, this is all a part of cooking sandesh. So he said, actually the love with which we serve the cows, then the cows give milk with love. So it's all a part of cooking sandesh. Then the devotee said for a couple of days, and he said, I can't cook sandesh like this. So, a devotee has this desire that wherever he sees some good service to Krishna being done, he would also like to do service similarly for Krishna. So, it's not that a devotee is envious, but a devotee wants to offer the best to Krishna. And if somebody is offering to Krishna something better than him, then rather than being envious, he wants to learn from him so that I can also offer something better. Not that I want to become equal to or better than that devotee, but Krishna should get the best. That is always the desire of the devotee. So, as devotees, we would like to study and we would like to get the best marks. Not so that, I am such a clever person. But so that Krishna's devotees are the best in every field. That's, with that attitude, a devotee wants to do every service well. And, and the devotees would do proofreading and editing of Srila Prabhupada's books. They would do it so well. I had one friend before my Krishna conscious days who had a hobby. His hobby was to read all the popular and famous books and find out proofreading mistakes in that and mail the book to the author. Saying that I found all these mistakes in your books. So he would even spend money to mail to America. I am an American author. But then when I was introduced to Krishna consciousness, then I gave him Prabhupada's books. He read almost a dozen books. I can't find a single mistake in any of them. So, the devotees want to offer the best service to Krishna. Jayadvaita Maharaj was telling me that actually for every volume of Bhagavatam that they brought out, they would have one sack full of proofread material. They would proofread it dozens of times. When we boys publish the book, we proofread once or twice. But when we asked Maharaj, how many times we should proofread a book? He said, not more than 50 times. So, the point is that actually a devotee wants to offer the best to Krishna. So, every way the best. So, yes. If we have to learn something, we can learn even from the materialists, so that we can offer to Krishna better than what the materialists are. So Madhavendra Puri had that attitude. But even for the service of Krishna, he was not ready to beg. Although he wanted the kheer only for the service of Krishna, he was not ready to beg. But because his desire was so pure and so selfless, the Lord was moved by the desire. Actually, the Lord is a very, Prabhupada writes, the Lord is responsive. The Lord is watching us and He is noting our desires. And when He saw this, my dear devotee has this sweet desire, this selfless, pure desire to serve me, then He decided that I want to fulfill this desire. And so what did He do? He stole the kheer. And He, actually, normally speaking, there were a fixed number of pots, and the pujari would count and take the pots. But that particular day, by the yoga maya, he counted wrong. And he thought, he has got all the pots. And then, the Lord came in his dream and told him, here is my devotee Madhavendra Puri. I have kept a pot of kheer for him, specially. Please go and give it to him. So, when pujari woke up, he was amazed. This is really a dream. He took a bath and immediately went in. Walter and he saw actually a pot was there. And he took the pot and he ran out. He said, Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri, who are you? Where are you? He didn't know who he was, but he understood he was a great soul. And he was calling out and he said, Lord Gopinath has stolen kheer for you. And everybody was amazed. Everybody was watching. What is this announcement? And then Madhavendra Puri heard this. Madhavendra Puri, and he came forward. He said, I am Madhavendra Puri. And even before offering him the kheer, he offered him obeisances. Tandava directly. He says, what a great soul he is. Madhavendra Puri also did not think that he was a great soul. He offered obeisances. And then he offered him the ghee and told him everything that had happened. When he told him everything that had happened, then Madhavendra Puri became overwhelmed with tears and described that he took the ghee and then he ate the ghee slowly. And not only did he eat the ghee, you know, he broke the pot into small, small pieces. Now he remembered how Gopalji had said, I'll come and take the pot. But he had not taken the pot. So now he had the pot with him. So he broke the pot and kept a piece of the pot with him. And every day he would eat a small piece of the pot. Now we may wonder, what is there to eat in the pot? So for him, he was actually tasting the love of Krishna. And he was not just tasting the milk and sugar. So for him, both the kheer and the pot in which the kheer came were actually remembrances of, sources of remembrance of Krishna's extraordinary love for him. And that's why every day you eat a small piece of the pot. So this is actually how the Lord is conquered by the pure heart of his devotee. In this material world, materialistic people have so many desires. And the Lord says, okay, I'll fulfill your desire according to your karma. But a devotee has no material desire except the desire to serve the Lord. And because of this desire to serve the Lord goes out of his way to fulfill that desire. And when he fulfills that desire, the devotee becomes so overwhelmed by that. So when Srila Prabhupada went to America to preach, he had practically no desire other than the desire to glorify the Lord. Now, if Prabhupada had just wanted to be a famous book publisher, he could have stayed in India and done that. Initially, it had been a struggle for him to write the first canto of Bhagavatam. But once he had got it published, the Indian Prime Minister, the Indian President, all of them had taken that as a gift and had given positive reviews about him. And now the remaining cantos he could have published very easily. Now, for any author, getting the first break in writing, getting the first book published is difficult. But once the first book is published and gets positive reviews, subsequent books can come very easily. So Prabhupada could have become quite a famous author in India itself. But actually Prabhupada gave up the opportunity for writing. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada went to America in 1965, 62, 63, 64, he published the three parts of the first canto. And actually the next book came only in 69, 70. For 5 years they couldn't publish anything. Because in America publishing was not so easy. It was expensive and it was complicated. So Prabhupada had the fame and the status as an author. Prabhupada had the fame and status as a sannyasi, as a respected sadhu in Vrindavan. Prabhupada left both of that and just went because he wanted nothing except to glorify Krishna. And he gave it all up and then what happened? Initially there was so much struggle. So here you see that he was not even ready to beg for food, but then the Lord stole and gave kheer to him. And it described that when Madhavendra Puri came back from Puri back to Ramuna, when he came to take darshan, at that time the pujari himself first gave a pot to him. There's no need for Gopinath to steal again for you. So, what happened? The Lord fulfilled Srila Prabhupada's desire in such an extraordinary way. Prabhupada was blessed with so many temples, so many books, so many devotees. And Prabhupada writes in one letter that, Jesus Christ had only 8 apostles, but Krishna has given me hundreds and hundreds of devotees who are all preaching as vigorously or more vigorously than what the apostles have been preaching. So Krishna reciprocal, and Prabhupada writes in one conversation or says in one conversation that actually the success of the Krishna consciousness movement got exceeded my expectations. So when the Lord reciprocates, then he reciprocates in extraordinary ways. So, this pure-heartedness, the desire for nothing but the service of the Lord, and desire for nothing but to glorify the Lord, that pleases the Lord, conquers the Lord, and makes him shower his blessings in extraordinary ways on us. But then, how can we know that our desire is pure-hearted? Isn't it? Now, there are two extremes. One is that we think I don't have a pure heart, so let me not try to do any service. Because when I get a service, then it's going to be the impure heart. So what is going to happen? Then I'll become proud because I've done such a big service, and then I will become famous. Therefore, let me not do any service. Well, that doesn't work. Because in the condition stage, if we do some wonderful service, we will become proud. If we don't do any wonderful service, we will become envious of those who are doing wonderful service. So what is the way out? The way out is that we do the service and we share the credit with others. We pass the credit to
spiritual master and to the other devotees. So that we see, U is unassuming. So we are discussing Puri, P-U-R-I. U is unassuming. Unassuming means humble. You know, he never took credit. So Madhavendra Puri, now he had become very famous. He had become very, very famous as such a great devotee that the Lord had personally stolen kheer for him. So, we cannot understand that sort of fame now. You know, imagine in Kali Yuga, it's a perverted example. If say some hostel student is there, and you find out that, you know, we have the god of cricket, Sachin Tendulkar. Sachin Tendulkar sends some gift to a particular person. Everybody will come to know, why did Sachin Tendulkar send a gift to you? Isn't it? So, that's a perverted version. Now he's a temporary god. But, you know, the more than the kind of adulation that the sports stars get now was actually the devotion for the Lord. And if the Lord has personally intervened in somebody's life, it's extraordinary. The news spread like wildfire and everybody knew about it. Madhavendra Puri could have sat and he could have taken the glory. He would have taken the glory, but he refused. What did he do? He immediately left from there. Because he considered the glorification as a distraction from his bhajan. Because others will keep glorifying me, then I will not be able to chant, I will not be able to think of Krishna. He just left from there. But the fame is such a thing that actually the fame, when we chase after it, it runs away. When we go away from it, it runs after us. So not only did the fame run after Madhavendra Puri, it ran ahead of Madhavendra Puri. And when he reached Jagannath Puri, already the fame was there. And actually speaking, you know, why did Lord have to do such a thing? One reason was, of course, that he wanted to fulfill Madhavendra Puri's desire to have that kheer. But the Lord could just have told the Bujari, you know, you give a kheer. Or he could have just inspired the Bujari to give the kheer from the, as Paramatma was in the heart. Why did he have to steal the kheer like that? Because, and actually Madhavendra Puri had a very difficult mission. Chandan, which he had to get, was first of all expensive, and secondly, reserved for Jagannath. Chandan was not available freely for anyone else. So when Madhavendra Puri came from Vrindavan to Puri, it would not have been very easy for him to get Chandan, normally speaking. But because he became famous in this way, that's why the priests and the authorities of Jagannath Puri temple, they realized he's just a great devotee. Then somebody just comes along and says, you know, Krishna came in my dream and he told you should give a donation of 1,000,000 rupees to me. Get lost, Krishna has not come in my dream. You know, who is going to believe? Who is going to believe and who is going to give chandan like that? So the Lord, see sometimes when the Lord gives instructions, the instruction may appear impossible to us. How will we fulfill that? But if the Lord has given instruction, it is the Lord's responsibility to arrange the facilities to fulfill that instruction. What he wants to see is whether we have the desire to fulfill that instruction. Now whether we want to find ways to fulfill the instruction or we want to find excuses to avoid the instruction. So now Madhavendra Puri, if he had wanted excuses, he would have found so many excuses. But what did he do? He said, no, let me do it and let me see how it works out. So actually, first of all, for him to get Chandan would have been very difficult. Not only would Chandan have been very difficult for him to get, but even if he got it, how would he take it back all alone? He was an old man by this time. But his fame came to his service at that time. And when the fame can be used for the service of the Lord, the devotee doesn't deny it. He accepts it. So all the people who had reached there earlier, they told him, told the Jagannath Puri that actually Lord Gopinath stole kheer for him. He said, oh, if he stole kheer, then we don't want Jagannath to steal chandan for him. Let us give chandan for him. So then they give chandan abundantly to him. Not only chandan, they also give camphor to him. And then he started back. So actually, a devotee doesn't want credit and glorification for himself. But if credit and glorification can be used for the service of the Lord, he uses it. And we see the same principle with respect to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada came to, as I said, you know, when he was in America, actually the movement in America was spreading quite nicely. Because the books were being distributed, people were becoming devotees. America at that time was in the hippie phase. So there were a lot of people who were interested in spirituality. And the movement was spreading like anything.
But there, and Prabhupada could have lived comfortably in America. But he decided to take a new challenge. What was that? Come back to India. And coming back to India was not very easy. On one side, you know, we have heard how Prabhupada got a huge welcome. It created a sensation. In Mumbai and Sadhu Samaj, the devotees started dancing, or Vrindavan, when Prabhupada came with his foreign disciples, it was like our hometown boy who has become a big Swami. Vrindavan Vargas had a try. You know, he was a Swami with us, but now he has become an international guru. They're very proud. But that's only one side of the story. Actually, the devotees faced a lot of difficulties. First was Prabhupada was criticized because, you know, apparently he had spoiled Hindu Dharma by allowing Lekshad and Yavanas to come into Hindu Dharma. You know, this Hindu Dharma is so important that it can become spoiled by somebody. It's so strange. Actually, you know, when Kashmir came to India at the time of independence, at that time there were many Muslims, many Hindus who had been forcibly converted to Islam. Almost something like 3 lakh Muslims were there. So they said, anyway we were Hindus earlier, and now Kashmir has come back to India, we will become Hindus. So they made a petition to Nehru. And when they made a petition to Nehru, referred it to the Hindu Mahasabha in Varanasi. And they said, yes, it is good that they have a desire to become Hindus. They can become so in the next lifetime. So they refused. And now what is happening? Now Kashmir is burning. So actually it is very narrow-minded to think that, you know, those who are born as Hindus can be Hindus. Actually, the path of the Vedic culture is open for anyone who is willing to practice it. Srila Prabhupada in one lecture, I think it was 1971 or something in Mumbai, so at that time just Bangladesh had become separate. So still the memories were there. Actually, India was so big, and then India lost Pakistan, now it got separate. So Prabhupada was giving the lecture. Prabhupada said, you know, you people are lamenting that India lost Pakistan. But he said, you join me and preach Bhagavad Gita, the whole world will become Hindustan. Just see, he said, how many people are there? How many people are there who have become devotees? And I am an old man who has gone and preached. He said, all of you, you know, you will. See, Prabhupada's humility, it's so heartbreaking here. Not heartrending, heartbreaking. He said, you know, just see, I am an old man, I am going alone and preaching. He says, all of you also come and join me in preaching Bhagavad Gita. But no, he said, you have to go busy and work in a mill. Work in a cotton mill. He said, anyway, you are not coming to preach. So you please give me your blessing so that I can preach.
What is Prabhupada telling? Prabhupada telling to Indians who are, you know, not even practicing basic principles.
Please give me your blessing so that I can preach. So that is the humility of a devotee. A devotee, he is never thinking that I am doing something great. He's thinking that actually, if you read the song, Markine Bhagavad Dharma, what is Prabhupada saying? Prabhupada saying, I have no ability. Krishna, by your power, all of them have come into illusion. By your power, they can come out of illusion. Prabhupada wrote 2 songs. Other song also, he says, by the desire of Bhakti Saraswati Thakur is very strong. And by his desire, the holy name will spread all over the world. So humility doesn't mean, you know, I keep thinking, I am so fallen, I am so fallen, I am so fallen, I am so fallen. Actually, that is reverse false ego.
Reverse false ego means what? That actually false ego means I think I am so great. But the idea is I am still self-preoccupied. I am still thinking about me only. I am so fallen, I am so fallen. So I am still I-centered.
So false ego means to be I-centered. So everybody thinks, okay, I may be great, I may be small, that doesn't matter. But I want to serve the Lord. So whatever abilities I have, I will use them to serve the Lord. So real humility means that actually 2 things. You know, we don't think so much about ourselves. As I say, humility doesn't mean to think low of ourselves, but to think less of ourselves. That is the first thing. The second thing is, when we get the glorification, we don't use the glorification and think, I am so great now. No, we actually share the glorification with others. Prabhupada will pass the glorification to his spiritual master, he will pass the glorification to his disciples. Because of you, I am able to do so much. So Madhavendra Puri, he exhibited this detachment. What was his unassuming nature? He did not want to sit and take the glorification, but if the glorification could be used in the service of the Lord, he was all ready to use it. Now, R is responsible. Responsible. This is a very important philosophical point, that sometimes devotees
ask this question. You know, can Krishna come in our dream? Can the spiritual master come in our dream? Yes, it's possible. You know, this can be called as paranormal phenomena. But, you know, we have in our sampradaya so many examples of great devotees getting dreams. And we cannot say that Krishna cannot come in a dream. So, but the point is that, okay, what happens after Krishna comes in the dream? You know, if we look at Madhavendra Puri, what happened? How many times did Krishna come in dreams to him? How, three times? First time? Yes, I am here, Gopal. Second time? Premchandran. Third time? Offer it to Gopinath. Offer it to Gopinath, no need to take it to Gopal. So now if you look at it, the first dream brought big glorification, isn't it? Because you are such a great devotee, that actually the Lord revealed Himself. It's quite extraordinary, that brought glorification. But the second dream did not bring glory, it brought a lot of trouble. He could have said, I think that was not a dream, that was just imagination. If he had wanted to, because the second dream meant a lot of hard work for him. The old age, he had to go all the way far away. But he took the second dream also very seriously. Not that he was selective. So actually, you know, there is paranormal experiences and there are normal experiences. So our paranormal experiences, even if we have, we can have them. No, it's not that you have to say that you cannot have these paranormal experiences. If you say that you have a dream of Krishna, then you are a sahajya. It's not like that. If somebody has a dream of Krishna, it's fine. But what we see is, what effect does it have on your normal devotional service? What happened to Madhavendra Puri? Each time his normal devotional service increased. Isn't it? So yes, if Krishna is so merciful to us that he is coming to us in a dream, then we should wake up and chant Hare Krishna more attentively. Not that Anjali Japa, we go to sleep and think I will get a dream of Krishna. So the idea is that the proof of our spiritual advancement and the reality of our spiritual experience, the proof of the reality of our spiritual experiences is how we perform the normal devotional service. So yes, the Lord can come in the dream of anyone, and He came in the dream of Madhavendra Puri. But what was His response? You know, His, we see that His responsibility in devotional service, His commitment, it's hard work. So the dream comes and in the dream you get an instruction. You know, many times for us, you know, what to speak of a dream. In real life also we get an instruction, we don't take it seriously. But the dream and instruction comes and you take it so seriously. And you have to sacrifice everything for the service of the Lord. So that is actually the responsible nature. And if we see that way, Srila Prabhupada also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him an instruction in his first meeting. Second time he gave a letter. But then he came in his dream telling him to take sannyas. Now Prabhupada writes in his humility that I was horrified. How can I take sannyas? Because Prabhupada, relatively speaking, had been born in quite a wealthy family. Not a fabulously wealthy, and he had lived relatively in comfort. So he said, how can I stay in an ashram? How can I live the life of a sannyasi? Now Prabhupada could just have said, no, I didn't get that dream. Now Prabhupada didn't do that, you know. Prabhupada actually took that dream seriously. And then when the dream came, yes, he took sannyas. And we see how committed he was to the service of the Lord. So, now, why did the Lord again come in a dream the third time? Actually, you know, for him, to take all that chandan back to Vrindavan would have been very, very difficult. Because as I was telling you earlier, the Vrindavan area was ruled by Muslims. And the Muslims, not only they don't believe in deity worship, but they see it as an opportunity for plundering money. So they would have, even if, now Madhavendra did not have any weapons, of course the Lord could have come with the Sudarshan Chakra, he could have done anything. But he did not want to put his devotee to trouble. He had tested the devotee, he had seen the sincerity and dedication of the devotee. For him, because Bengal was ruled, relatively speaking, by, you know, Ramana was just on the border of Orissa. And because the Orissa king was also very powerful, Pratapudra, and before him was Purushottam Dev. So the Bengal king was not so hostile to the Hindus. Because he knew that Hindus can join with the Oriyas and they can overthrow me. So he was also oppressive, but not so oppressive. Now that's why, you know, we had like Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they're incorporated into the government. because they realize that Bengali people are very religious. And if we try to disturb their religious sentiments too much, there will be uprising against us. So, for him to travel all the way through the dacoits up to Vrindavan would have been very, very difficult. So, the Lord knows what difficulties are there when we are doing the service and how to resolve the difficulties. But he wants to see our determination. So, what did he do for Madhavendra Puri? Again, he came in a dream. And he told him, when he was at the Gopinath temple, "This, I and Gopal are non-different, so please apply the chandan over here." And then this pujari was delighted. "Oh, so much chandan for deities." Well, they started applying the chandan to the Lord over there. So, you know, sometimes we feel that, you know, we are struggling with so many difficulties. We have an arthas internally, we have so many difficulties externally. You know, there's so much anti-preaching going on.
So we wonder, is Krishna aware of this? Krishna playing his flute in the spiritual world, happy with the gopis?
Yes, Krishna is playing his flute, happy with the gopis, but he's also there with us. And he's aware of the difficulties that we are facing. But he wants to see our sincerity, our determination. Prabhupada writes in one purport, "The Lord can send difficulties, the Lord can remove difficulties." So that is the omnipotence of the Lord. He can send difficulties, he can remove difficulties. What he wants to see is how much we are determined to serve. So what happens is very often that our determination and our difficulty, when the two collide, you remember, you might have seen Ramayana earlier, so two enemies are shooting arrows, two arrows come in and one arrow falls off. Isn't it? So you see two arrows collide and one arrow falls off. So like that, you know, when the determination and the difficulty, they come, what happens? Our determination falls off. But for a pure devotee, it doesn't mean, when we say somebody is empowered, that doesn't mean that they don't have difficulties. The empowerment is that the determination doesn't wane, no matter what happens. When the difficulty comes, determination is there. The determination is so strong that the difficulty falls by the side. So, Gange Vogam Udhanvati. Somehow or other, the river finds a way to the ocean. Above the stone, below the stone, round the stone, or breaking the stone. So like that, a devotee who is determined to serve the Lord, he finds some way to keep serving the Lord. So, because the devotee is determined, the devotee is responsible. So, the Lord reciprocates. And the Lord does extraordinary things for the service of the devotee also. So, Srila Prabhupada is also so responsible. You know, he considered the instruction of a spiritual master as his life and soul. Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that in the absence of the spiritual master, the instruction of the spiritual master is the wealth of the disciple. The wealth of the disciple. So, the wealth of the disciple means what? We have a parampara. Parampara passes us down something. So, what is the legacy that is passed down? Sometimes some other devotees criticize Srila Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Maharaj that, you know, if anybody criticizes me, you can ask them, you know, how many temples have they opened? How many books have they written? How many disciples have they made? Then he became calm and he said, "I have inherited the legacy of my spiritual master." What is the legacy of the spiritual master? The legacy is not the temples, not that it, okay, you are officially made the voice manager or the voice whatever in charge, you know, this OC or this or that. That is not the legacy, that is just external. The real legacy that the spiritual master gives the disciple is the desire to serve, the desire to glorify Krishna. That instruction. Through the instruction comes our desire. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chittate Karya Aikya Arana Kari Homani Ash. That means the instruction of the spiritual master should become our only desire and no other desire. So Prabhupada took that instruction of the spiritual master as his desire. And when Srila Prabhupada was departing from this world, he was asked, you know, who will be your successor? So Prabhupada replied, whoever wants to be. What does it mean, whoever wants to be? He said, my instructions are given, whoever takes the instructions and molds his life accordingly, he will be my successor. So the legacy that we get from the spiritual master and from the Vaishnavas is that desire to serve. And if we have the desire to serve, then we will be empowered. So Prabhupada often said that our spiritual advancement depends on how much responsibility we take. So we see, on one side, Madhavendra Puri is such a transcendental devotee that he is not even ready to stretch his hand up, lift his hand up to beg food from somebody. But for the sake of the Lord, he's ready to walk for thousands of kilometers to get chandan. So yes, for a devotee, himself he doesn't want anything. But he's so responsible for the Lord, he's ready to do everything. And the Lord, I, related with this only, is intent. Intent means determined. So, responsibility is one thing. But intent means vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana. He got that one instruction, and that one instruction, he took that as his life and soul. So actually, listening, the instruction of the spiritual master is like the treasure. What is the meaning of a treasure? Just like if we have treasure. If I have a jewel, the jewel may appear just to be like a weighing glass also, isn't it? But when you encash the jewel, then you realize how wealthy it is, how much money is involved. So like that, when we get an instruction, the instruction is like a jewel. But we have to encash the instruction. What does it mean, encash the instruction? Apply the instruction in our life. Then we will see that we will get so many abilities, so much empowerment, so many facilities, so many miraculous things in our life will happen. And we will see Krishna practically acting in our life. So, actually, the pastimes that are given, the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the other scriptures, they are not just historical stories for entertainment. Yes, there is entertainment, but they are also for inspiration and instruction. We get inspiration by seeing the wonderful qualities of Madhavendra Puri. And we get instruction about how we can also mold our spiritual life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself describes this pastime when he is going from Mayapur to Puri along with associates. So he concludes this whole pastime by telling that in this pastime, two things are illustrated. Prabhura Bhakta Vatsalya Ara Bhaktera Prema Sima. So he says, Prabhura Bhakta Vatsalya, the great love of the Lord for the devotee and the limit of the love of the devotee for the Lord. These two are illustrated in this pastime. And these two, the love of the devotee for the Lord and the love of the Lord for the devotee. These two are what makes spiritual life vibrant in the life. And we see this in the life of Srila Prabhupada. What of Srila Prabhupada's love for Krishna? He built so many temples. And what of Krishna's love for Srila Prabhupada? You know, Krishna had so many devotees, so many facilities, so many extraordinary things happened. So this is the wonderful world of love which is revealed to us through these pastimes. And we can all enter into this world of love also. And the way to enter into this world of love is actually by developing the desire to love and serve Krishna. And the way to develop the desire is, one way is chanting the holy names. When you chant the holy names, that's actually a prayer for service. Sometimes you may say, I chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I already have so much service, you know. Should I chant? Because then I'll get more service. No, actually what we want is not just service, but the desire for service. So chanting will give that desire for service. And of course, whatever desire for service we have, use it. So the holy name, you know, all of you may remember that story is Khulja Simsim. You know, there's the treasure which was kept inside the cave and there's a password. Khulja Simsim, open. So like that, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the Khulja Simsim for the spiritual world. It's the password to the world of love. It opens our heart to experience the love of the spiritual world. And eventually it takes us, transports us to the spiritual world. So I'll summarize. We started by discussing about how we should not judge devotees externally. Somebody might be externally in some sampradaya, but he may have great devotion, like Madhavendra Puri. Apparently in Mayavadi Sampradaya or Madhu Sampradaya. And we discussed P was what? Pure hearted. So he was not ready to ask for kheer, either not even because he was greedy or not even because he was hungry. He wanted only for the service of the Lord. And a pure heart, the Lord reciprocated by stealing the kheer for him. He was unassuming. He did not want any fame for himself, but he wanted to. When he wanted to serve the Lord, his fame could be useful, he was ready to use that. R was responsible. Yes, the Lord came in his dream, that was extraordinary. Wonderful it is. But more important is what you do when you wake up. So, you know, if we say Krishna came in my dream, then okay, it's good that Krishna comes in the dream, but then wake up and chant Hare Krishna. Isn't it that little more important? You know. And then I is intent. How a devotee is intent, vyavasayatmika buddhi, in doing whatever service he is told by his spiritual master. Shri Madhavendra Puri Pad ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Shri Madhavendra Puri Pad Tirubhava Mahamahotsav ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Shri Gaur Premanand ki. Thank you very much.